Blog Talk Radio.
Yaumanuk, Melkut Yaumanuk, Serud Yaumanuk, Sharenev Emba, Enka Yaumanuk, Melkut Yaumanuk, Serud Yaumanuk, Sharenev Emba, Enka Yaumanuk, Melkut Yaumanuk, Serud Yaumanuk,
Shalom, peace and freedom. Welcome to another edition of Watch Dawu, the Comedic Path to Peace. I'm your host, Reverend Dr. Queen Mother Imaku. And it's my pleasure to join you again on this fine Thursday. I'd like to give a long overdue acknowledgement of gratitude to Main Street Universe, the broadcasting family that is bringing this show to you along with so many others. And again, very grateful for this opportunity to be part of the Main Street Universe family. Give thanks and praises. I am, wow, there's so much that's going on that I need to share with you before we get into today's topic, which is Makeru versus verbal abuse. So let me first start with prayer and then share announcements with you, and then get into the topic. And by the way, the topic is the one that I just preached on this recent Sunday for our Akharu Comedic Temple service that is held every other Sunday in Newark at the Refall headquarters. Visit the Akharu Temple of the True Living Waters site. That's akharukemetictemple.info. Kemetic, spelled K-H-A-M-E-T-I-C. And certainly if you go to the Blog Talk Radio page, you will find the link for it. And for all of you who are following us on Facebook, as well as my profile page and my fan page, then you'll find the information there too. And yes, Akharu Temple does have a Facebook fan page. So, you know, I've kept it quiet for the past couple of years, but now it's time to spread our wings and share the glad story. So that, and that, by the way, is also on the Blog Talk site for this show, for this episode, and also on the Akharu Temple page. But also, I think if you Google us in Facebook, you'll find us at facebook.com/Akharu. Temple of the True Living Waters. And the beginning of each word is capitalized. But to make it easy, just visit our Akharu Temple official website. And you'll find the link where you can become a member on our page, a fan on our page. Let's begin with the Lord's Prayer in the Kemetic language. Sharera nib ich nebet. Much nu ich etefnu necheru penetium sherif. Our Mother and Father, Netru, who exist in and are of heaven, your names are sacred. Your kingdom come, your will is done, and tacher impet, on earth as in heaven. Erdinu cherupen, give us this day, kaunu, our daily bread. Nechat in achau, have mercy on our sins or misgivings, cher nechatnu achainu, as we pardon our transgressors. Udevnu emesvet, turn us from evil, nechem emedet, rescue us from folly. Tutenichenu, netreochenu, netrichenu, neket. Your kingdom, your power, your divinity, forever and ever. Amen, imenit. Amen. Anecherak, I'm sorry, anecherech ma'et, dua ma'et, verdi hekech ma'et, I'm sorry, Sperdi Ma'et Shekech Em Yerupen. I will not do wrong, I will not steal. I will not immerse myself in depression. I will not violate another being physically, mentally, emotionally, or spiritually. I will not hoard, disrespect, abuse, or misuse the land. I will not waste precious food. I will not waste precious water. I will not jealously desire to obtain that which is not mine. I will not eavesdrop or pry into matters outside the dictate of nature. I will not defile or debase my purity. I will not abuse my sexuality. I will not engage in infidelity with another man or woman's mate. I will not engage in sexual fantasies or sexual acts with a child. I will not cause needless terror. I will not be arrogant and egoistic. I will not act with selfish, destructive aggression. I will not cultivate a quarrelsome nature. I will not take a life outside of my eight, nor disrespect the life force. I will not cause the shedding of tears. I will not sow seeds of regret. I will not mistreat children. I will not mistreat animals. I will not be vengeful and angry except for a just cause within my eight. I will not be easily incited to action or contention. I will not uphold an untruth on or against someone else's behalf. I will not lie. I will not raise my voice unnecessarily. I will not speak maliciously against another being. I will not exaggerate. I will not talk too much. I will not act with sneaky manipulation. I will not be impatient or judge in haste. I will not entertain impure thoughts. I will not wish evil upon another being. I will not perform negative energy work. I will not turn my ears away from words of truth. I will not desecrate holy places. I will not desecrate holy traditions. I will not steal from or neglect giving to the temple offerings. I will not rob from the deceased. I will not blaspheme the Most High Nature. I will not betray my venerated ancestors. Our Iritu invocations. Nisit Iritu. Rud. Nisi Ardi en Taort es Geb Ipetah. I invoke security through Taort and Geb Ipetah. We do a simplified version today. Nisi Kat Wab. I invoke a pure body. Nisi Kiri es Jabar Jeser. I invoke joy and divine flow. That's for the prayer. Tuti. Nisi Peret en Hat. I invoke courage and a divinely aligned will. I invoke divine love. I invoke divine correct speech. I invoke pure thoughts. I invoke divinity. All those terms that you heard in relation to Ritu are all terms that we use exclusively in Akeru Temple of the True Living Waters based upon my extensive research. Find them anywhere else, you'll know they got ripped off. Okay. And the Cherek, Ibdiam Kepri, Kepri Kemam Necheru, Hek Webenek, Hesed Mutek, Hek Diem Sutan Necheru, Dware Heft Webenef, and Maket Abdet Impet. Necheru. Dua Necheru. Erdi Necheru, Maetanu. Anku Jaseneb, Mer Orek Echetepu. Im Anki, Im Hauni, Im Kredi, Im Hau Akeru, Im Hau Kabri, Im Hau Kemet, Im Hau Taut. Sekinu, Sekinu, Sekinu. Dwau, Dwau, Dwau. Chirak Yakut, this is for the ancestors. And a Chirak Yakut, and a Chirak Shepsu, Dua Yakut, Dua Shepsu. Erdi Yakut is Shepsu, Urek Hek Hekau, Mer Neferet Hetepu, Urek Sekemet Anu. Anukut, M. Shepsu Nebu, Sekinu, 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 Wau, Wau, Wau. Last prayer, short form of our water spirits of light prayer. We are, our Kiru temple is the only Kemetic water temple in modernity, and we specialize in mastery over water rituals, ceremonies, prayers, invocations, energy work through an understanding of the water and of the various aspects through the Kemetic guardians that have those attributes. We also acknowledge the water in our bodies daily because with the divine energy, which is Kut, which is light, Re, and also the water, which is Mer, which also means love. We come to understand higher vibration, we live in higher vibration, and we attract greater love to ourselves, and we also send out the energy of greater love. Manifest yourselves, water spirits of light, all. Tua and Jitunibu, thank you. Anuk and Jitunibu, I am you. Anuk Imakut, I am a sacred vessel. Yei Ibuab, I come with pure intentions. Kirini Hatjaser, I do sacred work. Tua Semi, help me please. Erdi Ankh Nefer, Watch Nefer, Mer Nefer, Ich Inu Nefer. Bring me a good life, good health, good love, and good revenue. Iati, Heki, Ureki. Embrace me, guide me, protect me. Semi Shestia, help me receive wisdom. May Shestef Maetin Anki, may all of this flow together harmoniously in my life. Anuki Makut, I am a sacred vessel. Yei Ibuab, I come with pure intentions. Kirini Khatjaser, I do sacred work. Semi Sekepi, help me advance successfully. Dua and Jitunebu, thank you, all water spirits of life. Enditu Neferea, Enditu Rerea, Enditu Mkutenmerea, Anuk Keru Echanu, Duau, Duau, Duau. Thank you, all water spirits of light. Water spirits of the greatly good, great nurturers of great love and light, I am in your hands. Many thanks to you. Okay, hoping everybody had a really wonderful week. You know, every day that comes brings the possibility for new lessons along with the challenges that we face in life. Embrace the lessons. Embrace the challenge and find the lesson within each challenge. And know that as long as you do and receive them with an open heart and a positive attitude along with introspection, introspection is the key, then you will continue to grow. If you don't check yourself daily, for those of you who are like, well, what is introspection about? Well, what that means is going within, okay? Spec is part of that word. Intro, inside, spec, to see, okay, to see within, all right? So almost like an internal inspection. Check yourself, basically, is what it means. Daily checking yourself and seeing if you are living up to your highest good, to your best self. And what you can do to change that. We'll be talking more about that in just a few minutes. Let me just get through a few quick announcements here. Please come and join us at the Akeru Temple of the True Living Waters church service that we have at the wonderful Refal headquarters. And, you know, two things. If you want to become a member of Akeru, please reach out to me. You know, not talking about having personal classes. I have students across the country who have weekly appointments with me. In fact, as soon as I hang up, I have my students in Florida who will be calling me precisely at 3:30. If you are interested just in fellowship and being able to get information about how to live the culture just from a general standpoint. You know, if you want to learn about Kemetic culture, it doesn't necessarily mean you have to jump right in and think, I'm going to be a priest. All right? You need to learn the culture. Learn what it is that, you know, what has attracted you to this. Have you seen somebody who is living the culture, as we call it, and it seems like what they're doing is pretty good? And you want to find out if it works for you, or if it calls to you, or if you just need some African-centered spiritual fellowship and a chance to expand your mind through learning our language, learning more about how to conduct yourself in a better way in the world, in the way of our ancient ancestors who taught high culture to the world, then come on a fellowship with us, okay? You know, we do a lot of different things. Next month we have our trip coming up, going to Brooklyn Museum for first Saturday, where we will be going and seeing our ancestors' stolen artifacts. They do have an amazing exhibition there that is a permanent exhibition at Brooklyn Museum. And there's that. And then also we have other things coming up. I want to announce that tomorrow as a temple we will be going to the Amiri Baraka wake, and then also for those of us who are able to attend the funeral in honor of our beloved word sage who pioneered the Black Arts Movement and radically changed the way that we look at poetry and Black art and film. So if you're interested in coming and going with us to the temple, there'll be a small group of us, I'm sure, but well, I can't say I'm sure. You never know what will happen. But for those who are interested in coming with us to go and pay homage, then reach out to me. We have many and more things that are going on. And you'll also be part of our regular text group. I send out information regarding birthday shout-outs and also prayers, people who need prayer, and also you know, other pertinent information. You know, drop some comedic language on you. And for those of you who are getting more and well-versed in the use of it, for instance, Priest Kepura, I always look forward to receiving text back from him because he has begun to text back to me as much as possible in the language. I look for that. I look forward to it, and it's wonderful to have a chance to dialogue with others who are learning the language and who are speaking it, because as Sanut Rakheti told us, all of us, you know, basically what she announced to those of us who are in the culture, that it cannot be a dead language if we're using it. You know, Egyptologists a long time ago declared there was a dead language. And so the same thing with a lot of historians and scientists. But, you know, we've been speaking it on some level, whether from a very rudimentary level to a more extensive level, to each other for the last, like, 40 years. You know, so I want to continue with the perfection the use of the language. And I send a text now to my students who are calling me in early. But then again, it wouldn't be this show if I didn't get a phone interruption, right? Oh, my goodness. Okay. It's all right. So now, going back to what I was saying aboard, and just for the fellowship, okay? And you'll find that you'll have a rich time if you come with us to service, or even if you're just part of just as a general member. People, I've noticed, are coming to service with notebooks and pens. You need to. I share a lot of information. It's a deeply spiritual service. We have a good time, though. I keep things loose, but I keep things also ritualistic and regimented in that way. But I share a lot. I believe in teaching. So, now, let's see, I think we've gotten all of the matters at hand taken care of. Let's jump into the topic. And this flows along with last week's topic regarding Sashat. And before that, we were dealing with Jehuti. And they, of course, are both connected in many ways, as I shared in the lessons, because Jehuti and his priests absorbed all the information from the Sashat temple. So there are a lot of crossovers. The one other thing that's similar with them is the fact that they are both connected to Ma'at, or Ma'at. Okay? Ma'at preferably, because that's the way they really should be pronounced. Okay, so what is that about now in with relation to our topic? Well, you know, we open each show, or each class, because this really is an online class. All right. So, as I was saying, had to reschedule for a class. All right. So, yes, we open up with talking about, with doing the 42 principles. And as I've shared with you, the 42 provide the foundation of correct behavior for people who are truly following the comedic path. Even if you are not truly following the comedic path and you are looking for a guideline for how, listen, I don't know how to act. This gives you a guideline for how to be in the world and how to be conscientious of your actions, because how you act in the world and how you are perceived has a great impact on what happens in the rest of the world. You come to understand it's not just about you, and that whatever you do has direct reverberations into what happens in the universe. Yes, this is true. Now, going further, the way that we at Akheru Temple deal with the 42, as we call them, they're also called the 42 Declarations of Innocence or the Negative Confession. That's because if you read them in the Perchamru and Ger, Book of Coming Forth by Day from Night, then you see that the initiate, as he or she is going through the afterlife in the various stages, declares his innocence before the Divine Council of Nesheru, who judge whether he or she is worthy of ascending, moving forward, okay? Or if you kind of messed up too much, you have to go back in the recycle bin. So the 42, where the declarations are, I have not done this, I have not stolen, I have not, okay? So basically saying, listen, my slate is clean because I didn't do this. Then there's a whole other section where it says, I have done this. But we deal with the 42, okay? And we every day recite them. After a while, it becomes blood and bone. And you know, whether you recite them or not, that it's part of your ethical, it is your ethical core, because this provides ethics, knowing right from wrong. Now, I was saying in Akheru, if you look in my books, Understanding Comedic Magic, and also, although which should be called Understanding Comedic Spirituality and Culture, and the other book, The Cowrie Blessings, Book New African Words of Wisdom, that they are grouped according to the Aritu. They're color-coded according to the Aritu. So you have the first six that deal with Ru, the next six that deal with what the world calls the sacral, you know, and so forth. So now, and that it's helpful as you're doing them, feel the energy rising within you from one chakra or aritu point to another. Now, what deals with the throat? And I didn't get to this part in our sermon. For those of you who were there on Sunday, think of this as part two. Okay, getting to the throat, or nefret. I will not uphold an untruth on or against someone else's behalf. I will not lie. I will not raise my voice unnecessarily. I will not speak maliciously against another being. I will not exaggerate. I will not talk too much. All deal with mastery of the throat. The symbol for the throat, as I did share in church on Sunday, is neferet. Nefer or neferet. Well, neferet more appropriately. And the main symbol in the glyphs is what looks like a lute. In fact, one definition of it is a lute. A lute is an ancient guitar. But the little oval part on the bottom, and you can Google this, is the wonderful thing about the computer is that you're able to follow along doing this as an online class. So you can Google Nefer or Neferet, N-E-F-E-R or N-E-F-E-R-E-T. You will see a symbol that has an oval at the bottom, a vertical line that extends up from that oval, and then two horizontal bars at the top. The oval on the bottom represents the heart. The vertical line that extends upward from the heart is the trachea, and the two horizontal lines represent the mouth. Now, Neferet has a number of meanings. Neferet, which also has the root in Nef or Nif, Nifa, Nifu, which deals with the breath, with air, and is the air that comes out of the trachea. What does this have to do with this lute-looking thing? Well, as I was saying, the definitions are air, breath, good, beautiful, successful, happy. So here's why it's significant. In Kemetic tradition, you are considered a beautiful person if what flowed out of your mouth was beautiful, because it meant that your heart was beautiful. Therefore, if you have a good or beautiful heart, then what proceeds from the mouth is going to bring you love and success and goodness and reflects your goodness as a person. Okay? If what comes out of your mouth is wet and consistently hurtful, mean-spirited, constantly sarcastic, defensive, then it means that your heart needs some adjustment. You need a tune-up. Now, before I go any further, I do want to mention that there is a word I think that would be of interest to you before we leave completely the lesson of Sashat. And she deals with discernment, being very careful in how you speak and how you conduct yourself in the world, because the fact that if you're well-learned, then you don't go around bragging or showing off or being all extra. I was talking about her symbol last week on her head, her crown, and how there was a speculation that it is a seven-pointed leaf that indicates wisdom and higher learning, but also there is a belief that it is a cannabis leaf. Well, let me just say, what I did not mention to you also is that, and you can put this in your notes, the word Shem Shemet is the word that has been determined to mean cannabis, and that her leaf is Shem Shemet, which later became the word hashish when the knowledge of cannabis came into Arabic culture, and it's been pervasive. I mean, back in the 60s, especially in 70s, cannabis or weed was called hashish, you know. So I just wanted you to add that to your notes. And here's what's really significant, too. Because Shem, and this is S-H-E-M, S-H-E-M-E-T, Shem Shemet, or S-H-E-M, S-H-E-M-T. Shem is one of the terms that's used for a high priest. Also, you have sh, the sh sound, sh, discretion again. And every time you see a word with an sh, you can just about be assured that there is a mystery that goes along with it. And it was said that those who were in high priesthood were really the ones who mastered the use of herbs like cannabis and who were able to have altered states that brought them into higher states of spirituality and understanding. Therefore, okay? All right, so. Oh, and in African language, there usually is, when you see it, that it's a double, where the word is double, like Shem Shem, okay, Shem Shemet, that means there is an extra emphasis on it. We do this in African language. I talked about that in previous shows. All right. Now, going forward, in terms of discretion, higher knowledge, wisdom, and the Neferet symbol, and what proceeds out of your mouth. Let's look at this. Let's look at the patterns of speech we have developed and why. Your first impressions for how to speak come from who? The adults around you in your life. And that can be a really wonderful thing or a really horrible thing. Now, I've talked before about the post-traumatic slave syndrome, the brilliant Dr. Joy Leary DeGruy brought to us, and her observations are so very profound and astute. Because through her theory, we are able to see and trace how adverse patterns of speech have affected us. Now, let me say, this is something that goes across the board, too, and this is why. Because when you have an oppressive society, generally that means that those who are under the oppressors are subjected to all manners of verbal and physical and emotional abuse. The idea is to keep you feeling like you are nothing and you will never achieve anything and that you are only there to serve the oppressor. So if you are around that, then a lot of times that's what you end up developing, like it or not, simply because you're around it. And even once you become liberated to some degree, you're not truly liberated because you oftentimes end up perpetuating those very patterns that oppressed you. Looking at the foundation of this country, and this I did share in service, looking at the foundation of the United States, and I know there are listeners around the world, but we're talking right now about the United States. I'm sure you'll find some level of how this can relate to where you live. Because oppression, unfortunately, is everywhere. This country, U.S. Western society, was founded on oppression. And oppression brings imbalance, greed, selfishness, and indignity. Dignity. Now, for those who came here, be aware that this country was considered a penal colony. In the U.K., where they just got full up, they said, we'll send them over there. And then also those who were kicked out, like the Pilgrims. They didn't just come here because they wanted to. They were pushed out. Others who were seeking so-called religious freedom, they were pushed out. We don't want you no more. Goodbye. Came here, and they became oppressive. Here you have the native people who were living here, minding their business, okay? Living harmoniously amongst each other, doing what they had to do. These strangers come in. They were kind enough, not all, but some groups were kind enough to show them the lay of the land, what to hunt for, what to fish for, what to plant. They helped them to survive because many of them were not prepared for this society, for this environment and died. Okay, so the kindness of these folks' hearts, all right, let's help you. And then what happened? These folks who, instead of appreciating the mentality of those that they were so-called escaping in the U.K., and then turn around and slaughtered all these people who were trying to help them and enslaved many. They were emulating their oppressors. All right. Then you have those who came here as indentured servants and those who were imprisoned here because, again, I said this was a penal colony. All right. And when you're in an environment, again, where you're constantly dealing with your oppressor and you're dreaming of freedom and all you see of freedom is the patterning of this oppressor, what happens? If you dream of being free, that means you also dream of being able to turn around and bully other people because that's what freedom means to you. That's what power means to you. You got crapped on, now you're going to turn around and crap on somebody else just to prove you can't crap on me anymore and also I'm better than somebody else because it is human nature to try to find somebody that you feel you are better than. not from the standpoint of understanding, okay, you know what, these folks over here have a completely different set of values that do not vibe with me, and if I engage in that, it's going to pull me down. I'm not going to deal with them. That's a whole different thing. When you are actively seeking somebody to pick on just to big yourself up, that's human nature that's talking, okay? And what is necessary for your healing, heart of innocence that you remember from your childhood, this is absolutely vital. For those who, for my own ancestors, for those of us who had ancestors who were enslaved, and some came out of slavery and enslaved others, how jacked up is that? But then also who carried with them the patterning of negative speech and communication. This is something that has affected us into today. And although, here we go again with the text. I'm on the air. Oh, okay. So, for those of us who are affected by adverse speech today, what does that look like? Well, as Joy Leary DeGruy spoke of, she talked about how, or giving the example of a master who would be taking note of an enslaved woman's child. Oh, little Johnny, he's getting to be a big boy. He's real smart, too. Oh, no, master, no. No, he just a scrawny little thing, and he's dumb as a brick. He can't do nothing. He's lazy. He ain't worth nothing. Now, that was just a means of protection because she didn't want her child sold away. Yet and still, here's Johnny standing there being, you know, being. He's hearing. He's lazy. He's dumb. You know, he ain't worth much. He ain't worth much. Okay, and you're talking about slave values here in terms of dealing with the oppressor. Because if he's worth much, that means that he can be taken and sold. That whole thing of he ain't worth much. He ain't worth much. He ain't worth much. All right, how many of us today are told you're worthless? You're stupid. You ain't worth nothing. Look at how society is set up today. Again, where you have people who have and those who don't have. And it sets up jealousy. And how we're encouraged to laugh at people. Let's take this a little deeper now. So now, in our comedic legacy, we have sages who have left behind amazing words of encouragement for how to deal with people who are verbally abusive. Because guess what? When you purposely hurt others with your speech, it's abuse. It's abuse. And most times it hurts more than flesh and bone hurt. Yeah. Because it stays with you in your mind. And you know, at Akeru Temple, I've shared with you that one of the things that we really focus on is the changing of your mind, the reworking of your own thought processes so that you can begin to move on for the better and heal from the various conditions that we all have experienced coming up. And wait, you know what, before I even go on with that, let me go back to the whole point of the innocence thing, because I was talking about how the 42 is also called the Declarations of Innocence. I want you to just, in this moment, remember back to what innocence looked like for you. Back to when you were able to be a child and you were able to have a pure heart. What changed that? When did that change? For some people, it goes with a major event. Many people I talk to will point to if they've been abused, you know, or witnessing their parents speaking to each other in a certain way, or being neglected, or being taught to speak a certain way. Today, you have children who pop off and are encouraged to pop off and are laughed at as though it were funny, and then years later, you find that you've got a problem on your hands because you've taught this child disrespect at a very young age. And children generally will open their hearts and love you unless there's something really defective in your character and, you know, they can pick that up. But still, the whole idea that at some point we started learning to become smart mouth, to become defensive, to lie, to be manipulative, and to be more guarded and twisting in our speech than we originally had been. Now, okay, children, they will say what they mean. And, okay, oftentimes that means that they have to be guided so that they know, okay, well, I know that's what you really think, but you have to think about other people's feelings, you know, because children don't have always that same level of awareness about what impact their behavior has on others, okay? So that has to be guided. But focus on what happened. What changed you? When did that change begin? Okay? Something else I want you to think of. Have you ever met someone who reminds you of the pure person that you used to be? It can either gladden your heart or really shame you. Okay? Oftentimes, it inspires you. You ever find yourself drawn to somebody who just, the person just seems so good and they make you feel good, or some people are just like, I can't stand him or her. Always smiling, always happy. Well, that's because of the fact that they have their own level of dissatisfaction with what's going on in their own lives. Mm-hmm. Usually, it inspires you. But what is it that prevents us from confidently being that nice, pure person on a consistent basis? Society. Okay? We've talked about society. And the thing is, you've got to find a way to be bigger than that, stronger than that, not allow yourself to be pulled down, because within us lies that purity. The term for pureness or purity or cleanliness is wab. Wab. The wab priest in Kemetic society would actually consider that the bottom, they were like the children of the temple because they were just coming in and learning the ways. And but they took care of cleaning the temple space, cleaning the object. They were given like maybe one thing. Okay, you see this right over here? You're going to clean this one object right over here, okay? If you do a good job of cleaning this object, then we'll let you clean these three. If you do a good job with that, you know, but first that you to hear, you got to sweep the temple floor. You do a good job with sweeping the floor, then we'll move you up to washing the floor, okay? That kind of thing, you know? But, and then also as you moved up, you started learning about purification with, you know, using the censer for incense and then also the tankard for libation and, you know, different levels of cleansing. Different levels of cleansing. Many come into the Kemetic legacy first learning all about different ways of cleansing the body. Because first you've got to get your body and your mind pure. After having a long time of working on that, then usually people come to me and say, okay, now what's next? Because of the fact that I've been working on my body all these years, now I really need to really purify my mind. So, purification. Purification. Innocence. Okay, now, let's take a look at some of the Kemetic scriptures regarding this. And I also want to throw out here that there is an amazing book that I've had since the 90s that is called The Verbally Abusive Relationship, How to Recognize It and How to Respond. There are all kinds of examples throughout the book of how to recognize someone who is an abuser verbally. Because, again, these stay in your mind. The insults stay in your mind. Somebody calls you the B word on a regular basis, whether you're a man or a woman. If someone's constantly invalidating what you say, even though you're not wrong and the other person is wrong, or somebody who's taking away the power of your voice by minimizing it, someone who constantly insults you, laughs at you when you're just honestly trying to communicate, someone who's trying to make you feel like it's all your fault, or if they do something wrong to you and then they want you to take half the blame even though you didn't do anything, and you find yourself afraid to communicate openly and honestly with this person because you're afraid the person's going to go off because they get off on anger and arguing or power. And this is all really about power, control, oppressive behavior. And it stems from a person's own insecurities. A lot of the oppression that we see that happens today in society is because the haves are afraid of becoming the have-nots. And because this country in the U.S. Was built on free labor, and there are so many people who are benefiting from it today, these people are living in absolute karma coming and the roles being reversed, and they're being without and not knowing how to live without. You ever meet somebody who had a white-collar job, and they all of a sudden lost their job? They always had a white-collar job, lost it, they lose the job, and then they don't know how to be in the world because they ain't got no money. Well, there you go, okay? And you see either the best of the person come out or the worst of the person come out. During the Civil War, well, after the Civil War, there were a lot of folks who became carpetbagger opportunists because people were desperate. Mm-hmm. And it's really important to check yourself before you get to that place. All right? Now, looking at what our ancestors said, coming from the book of Amenemope, the book of Amenemope, this is in the Hutsia, which are the collected, or some of the collected writings of the sages of ancient Kemet. And this book is, the credited author is Molana Karenga. All right, it's for who pulled it together. The book of Amenemope, for those who have it, you can open your book to page 58. Now, see, I have all these different books here where I have my notes for sermons, for classes, for shows, and I'm trying to see where I flipped my list for today's show. Starting with the Book of Amenemope. Okay. Page 58. In section 1, the latter portion of it, rage not against those who injure you, nor on your account answer them. The wharf falls from under the wicked, and a flood of water washes them away. The north wind comes to end their hour on earth and turns with a tempest, and thunders roar, and crocodiles come without mercy. Okay, so again, this is warning you about not losing your temper with those who injure you. And that's a hard feat. It's challenging. It really is. So, moving forward. Section 3. And you might recognize some of these from other shows that I've done. This is so significant in making sure that you understand that this, you know, this relates to so many different things. Do not argue with the contentious, nor provoke them with words. Pause before those who interrupt, and give way to those who verbally attack you. sleep a night before speaking. For the unrestrained person is like a storm which bursts forth like a flame in a pile of straw. What does this mean? Restraint during contention. So, you know, some people, if you just all of a sudden shut up while they're going off, they a lot of times will think that they've conquered you because they've shut you up, or they feel like you don't have anything to say, you don't have a comeback. When in truth, you're being wise, let me hold my tongue right now before I go off. Or this person is not a place of understanding me if I stay calm, so no matter what I say, I just need to just not lose my cool and just shut up. Just keep my mouth shut. Also, pause before those, I mean, sleep a night before speaking. I often do that because it gives you a lot of, listen, you get a different perspective as time goes by. In the morning, you may have a different outlook. You may feel better after you get a good night's sleep. Sometimes you get answers from your ancestors or the natural room in your sleep for how to deal with something. And it gives you a chance to let your heart settle. Back to the heart. The heart, the throat, the mouth, okay? Get your heart still. Get your heart still. Meneb. Still heart, okay, to control, and then address the situation. All right, moving on to page 61. This is section 9. That would be IX for those of you who don't know how to read Roman numerals. It's okay. It's never too late to learn. IX is 9. Do not speak falsely to anyone, for it is an abomination to God. Now, let me tell you, that takes on a lot of different forms, not speaking falsely. What does that mean? That means being truthful in telling somebody that they're crazy and that they don't know anything when you know that's not true. That's another way of lying. Calling somebody out of their name and disrespecting them, that's not being honest because you are dishonoring that person, okay? Even in terms of, on Facebook, oh, my goodness, there are so many people who will give credence to others where they know that they're not right. That's the same thing as speaking falsely to someone. Okay, that is an abomination. Do not separate your heart from your tongue, and all plans will be successful. Be consistent in my age. Do not separate your heart from your tongue. Let's look again at that symbol of Neferet. The heart, the trachea, the tongue. Nefer and Neferet means good, beautiful, successful. Do not separate your heart from your tongue, and all your plans will be successful. That means your heart has to be in the right place. How do you achieve that? Through the 42. Okay? You will have weight in the presence of others and be secure in the hands of God. Now, that is if you do these things. If you live according to purpose, if you live consistently in my eight, all right? That means you must be careful about who you associate yourself with because you give credence to someone who is morally bereft, who's shady, who's a shyster, or who's shady, okay? You have to really think about that. Don't think just because you don't personally know that person that it makes it not count. Or, well, this person's doing this to this person. That doesn't have anything to do with me. It doesn't work that way. The Chun hates one who falsifies words. And the great abomination of Nechud is deception and double dealing. You cannot compromise your ethics. Your ethics come from having a strong moral core. Strong moral core comes through the development of a pure heart. There's that purity again. A pure mind. A pure spirit. And understanding the impact of your actions. It means speak and live truth, okay? And above all, do not deceive yourself. There are people who are abusive with their tongues, but swear that they're good people. You know, this is addressed in that Verbally Abusive Relationship book. And, you know, I'm not real big on European or Western psychology, but some things are on point. This book is on point, okay? When you have somebody who is really convinced
that he or she is a good person and always has best intentions and will cite to you all the wonderful things that he or she has done for other people, yet have this other whole part where they're really consistently sarcastic, mean-spirited, bitter, condescending, but will point to all the good things that they've done for other people. They're not being realistic about themselves. Now, listen. Okay, listen. Sarcasm has its place, all right? Our ancestors were amazing punsters, knew how to really very cleverly insult somebody without coming out of their faces, so to speak, and without getting loud about it, but it's to effectively put somebody in their place, not for the sake of meanness. Because sometimes people do need to be put in their places. And this is where the whole thing about speaking truth is really important. But it's the way you speak truth. It's how you speak truth. Yes, sometimes you need to have force when you speak to somebody, okay? But not as a constant way of communicating with people, all right? We've got just a few minutes left and just a couple more scriptures here. This is in 10. Do not, at page 61 again, do not mislead a man or woman with pen and paper or papyrus. It is an abomination to the sheriff. Do not bear false witness with false words nor injure another with your tongue. We have the internet today. We have people who willfully beat others up knowing good and well that people are jacked up. You need to check yourself. Okay, now, going to page 63, and that is 14. You'll see XIV, that is 14. Laugh not at the blind, nor make fun of a dwarf, nor interfere with the plans of the lame. Do not harass those who are in the hands of nature, meaning the disabled. Do not harass the disabled, nor be fierce of face against them if they err. Surely humans are clay and straw, and the nature is a builder. The nature builds down and builds up daily. The nature makes a thousand humble as nature wills. If nature, naturu, who makes or make thousands into overseers when they are in the hour of their life, meaning it is overseers in this term, in this case, meaning someone who is of stature and who is given responsibility. Blessed are those who reach the west while they are safe in the hands of nature. Now, this is why this is important, because this refers to how, again, in society, this goes all the way back to Cameron, they were telling people, don't do that, okay? Making fun of other people, it's cruel. As a person living with a disability, I've come to see the best and worst in people when I've been having a seizure, you know? It's important to have compassion and to remember that could be you at any moment, which is what this passage refers to. Have gentleness. Be innocent. In the same way that a child will be compassionate, okay? Remember the heart of compassion. Remember the heart, soul, and mind and spirit of your innocence. Get yourself back in touch with that. If you are a verbally abusive person, begin working on it daily. If you need help with that, you can reach out to me, 646-228-1185, if you need counseling to begin to change who you are. We all are working on bettering ourselves every single day. Focus on change. Until next time, be the best person you can be. Mereya.